From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is going on, beautiful people? Can you believe it's Friday already? I can't believe it. Time flies when you're having fun, and we are always having fun right here on Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Boy, do we have a show in store for you all. Tonight is the night, folks. Yes, Lansing United, Lansing's very first, this is exciting stuff, Lansing's very first minor league soccer team starts its season. How about that? What a ride it's been for owner Jeremy Sampson as, just one little idea has sprung into one big event. I tell you, I will be there tonight to cover it. It'll be a great time. It's at 7 p.m. at the East Lansing Soccer Complex in Archer Stadium. It should be a great time. Expecting a good crowd there. We'll be chatting with Jeremy around 1:15 to talk about how this idea has really come to fruition. An exciting time in Lansing. Hopefully many of you out there will go out and support. Again, that's at the East Lansing Soccer Complex, Archer Stadium, right near like the clubs at Chandler Crossings, all of those apartments and in the village over there, over in that area. Should be a great time. I'm excited to talk to Jeremy and dive into how this idea all came about and to talk about the incredible roster on this squad, because the roster was actually released the beginning of this week, along with the website. An impressive roster filled with a few former Spartan soccer players, a few players from overseas. Pretty interesting stuff. So we'll talk about that. And also, we're opening up our phone lines like we do each and every day here on Current Sports. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Hey, maybe you have a question for Jeremy. And also, with as far as discussions go here on the show, we love to debate day in and day out here on the show. We'll be talking about a few topics here. Gary Harris and Nick Stauskas, who, of course, they opted out of the drills portion of the NBA Combine. Many players did, but they also, in lieu of that, they also had to put in their measurements, if you will, such as their vertical leap, how tall they are, how much they weigh, body fat. And Gary Harris and Nick Stauskas were not pleased with two results. We'll talk about that and kind of dive into whether or not their measurements should make a huge difference. I don't think they will, but it's interesting to say the least because, Harris, like I said, we'll talk about it. We'll dive into it because when it comes to Harris's height and Stauskas' body fat, they weren't too pleased with that. So, also, this Michael Sam story, of course, is one that's is pretty interesting because, of course, Michael Sam became the first openly gay NFL player to be drafted in the NFL. He was drafted last week, actually. An emotional time for him. It was released yesterday that the Oprah Winfrey Network, her network, the O Network, will be creating a documentary series, a reality show, if you will, when it comes to Michael Sam trying to make the St. Louis Rams roster. I found this very intriguing due to the fact that it's becoming too much for me. This is my own honest opinion about it. I want to get yours again, 517-355-9527. But Michael Sam is a guy who's become, the staple, a hallmark for many athletes and many individuals out there in the gay community. And it's pretty inspirational. It takes a lot of courage for a man to come out, especially to be the first to come out in anything, in any area, let alone the NFL, the first openly gay man in the NFL to be drafted. That alone is quite the accomplishment, and it shows how far we're coming in society in many, many different areas. Now, Michael Sam, with this whole O Network documentary, again, which will follow him day in and day out, I believe it's supposed to be like an eight-part series, when it comes to his trying to make the team for the St. Louis Rams, is interesting because if you remember, Michael Sam came out very vividly after his announcing that he was gay. He came out and made sure that everyone knew that he did not want to be known as, for his sexual orientation, if you will. He didn't want to be known as the gay football player. And he wanted to be known as just a regular guy, a regular football player, just another football player in the NFL. And for me, making this move to have the Oprah Winfrey Network document your time trying to make the team, it kind of, for me, puts a spotlight that doesn't need to be there and kind of contradicts that statement, if you ask me. Michael Sam McGinn, he came out and said he didn't want to be known as the gay NFL player. He just wanted to be known as just an average player, another player in the NFL. But this kind of, I have an interesting take on this because this kind of puts a spotlight on Michael Sam now as the gay NFL player. Do you agree with me on that? I mean, if you got cameras following you left and right, day in and day out, throughout training camp, as you try to make the St. Louis Rams roster, it kind of highlights you as that sore thumb in the locker room, that gay NFL player. And it sort of, again, it contradicts everything that Michael Sam wanted to do when, of course, he came out to the world. And I don't think the documentaries need it, and I think it's unfair to the St. Louis Rams because as we talked about the NFL draft in the light of Michael Sam, it's a great stride, it's a great presence because it shows how far we're coming as society day in and day out. But again, a lot of teams were out there were cautious of drafting Michael Sam because they knew that naturally it would draw a lot of attention. Naturally it would. But now with this documentary, the attention now goes through the roof, if you ask me. So I don't like it. If I'm the St. Louis Rams organization, I don't like it at all. I probably wouldn't even allow locker room access. I wouldn't allow practice access. It takes away from the goal of the team. I want to get your thoughts on it. We will dive into that conversation during our second portion of the show, and I am encouraging you all to call in and give your thoughts on this topic. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Also remind you all that Current Sports TV, we have had a great episode last night. As I sat down with Ron DeLeon, Ron, a great guy. Of course, he's a mixed martial arts and boxing fight promoter right here in Lansing, Michigan. He's a great guy and got to dive into the sport with him. If you missed that episode, though, don't fret. You can go on WKAR.org. You'll see links to it. And also, if you want to get a direct link to it, just go to video.wkar.org to watch that episode and all the episodes that we've done on Current Sports TV. All right, without further ado, let's dive into today's show. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit headliners for this Friday, TGIF, May 16th, 2014. Okay, again, tonight is the night. I'm excited, folks. Lansing's first ever minor league soccer team, Lansing United, kicks off its regular season at 7 p.m. down at Archer Stadium in the East Lansing Soccer Complex. Lansing United will take on the Indiana Fire. Lansing United is a part of the National Premier Soccer League. Gates open at 6 p.m. Tickets are $5. Just $5 for adults, $3 for kids, 12 and under. But any youth player wearing the team's jersey will be admitted for free. So how about that? If you're already rocking a Lansing United jersey, you get in for free. And the first 400 fans will receive a commemorative Lansing United T-shirt. That's great stuff. Again, gates open at 6 p.m. tonight at Archer Stadium down at the East Lansing Soccer Complex. Again, Lansing United kicking off his season. We'll be talking with Jeremy Sampson, owner of Lansing United, in just a sec. Don't want to miss that. All right. And the day before the NBA pre-draft combine, Gary Harris was told by his agent he shouldn't participate in the on-court drills. Now, the only impression for the former MSU star on Thursday that he could make was on his measurements, surprising many at just 6'2½" without shoes. Short for a potential shooting guard. I had no idea. When you stand next to Gary Harris, when he's out there on the court, now granted he's wearing gym shoes, he looks about 6'4", to be honest with you, so that definitely surprised me. He wanted to say, quote, "I was measuring 6'4½" in shoes, and I don't think I have 2-inch soles in my shoes. I don't know what's going on with that, but at least I'm not playing barefoot, I guess." He also weighed in at 204 pounds. He's not worried about it affecting his stock. And former U of M guard Nick Stauskas also had a surprising measurement at 12.1% body fat, which stunned him and everybody else. Now, he has been working with Priority Sports in Chicago for a few weeks and said he has never trained harder, yet his body fat measurement was higher than anyone else recorded Thursday. Though not all of the combine participants were listed. You said, quote, I've been working out hard, so I don't know. Maybe it's baby fat, end quote, he said with a grin. I got to love that. That's a pretty funny quote. What are we talking about? Should measurements even matter? It won't matter. Let's be honest here. It won't matter to me. I don't think it will when it comes to the NBA combine, or the NBA draft, excuse me. But definitely surprising because Gary Harris, I didn't know he was just 6'2". Man, maybe he's rocking those lift kits or something in his shoes. All right. Well, Jabari Greenwood, how about this? One of the top receivers in the nation for the class of 2015 is Jabari Greenwood of Gonzaga High School in Washington, D.C., Spartan Mag has some details on the recruitment of this blue-chip recruit for MSU. Rivals.com ranks Greenwood a three-star prospect and number 35 wide receiver in the nation for the class of 2015. In addition to MSU, Greenwood also holds scholarship offers from programs such as Iowa, Kentucky, Maryland, Virginia, Virginia Tech, Illinois, Boston College, and Rutgers, just to name a few. My goodness, everybody's after this kid. Now, in all, Greenwood has over a dozen BCS offers on the table. Michigan State has been extremely active when it comes to recruiting the Mid-Atlantic region for the class of 2015. Greenwood is one of a few select prospects that the staff is targeting as a Plan A prospect. So we'll see how that pans out. Tigers and Red Sox, they are in action today. The Tigers will look to avenge last year's playoff loss to the Boston Red Sox in a three-game series this weekend. The action starts tonight at Fenway Park when Max Scherzer, he faces John Lester in the marquee matchup of the series. Max Scherzer and Lester, that should be a good one. The Tigers are baseball's most dangerous road team, winners of their last eight straight away from Comerica. Rick Porcello is set to face John Lackey on Saturday night, with Annabelle Sanchez and Jake Peavy finishing off the series on Sunday night. And in a move that shocked no one, Donald Sterling is refusing to pay the NBA's $2.5 million fine for the comments he made to V. Stiviano, and is rejecting the lifetime ban handed down by Commissioner Adam Silver. Now, the longtime Clippers owner is also threatening legal action against the league if the ban isn't rescinded, according to reports. We saw this coming. I honestly can't wait to the day that I can wake up and, you know, put on my pants and my shirt and my hat and come to work and do this show without saying the name Donald Sterling. I tell you, man, I'm just tired of this story. No surprise Donald Sterling will be fighting this, though. Again, he's going to fight it to the end. And I think this is going to be a long, drawn-out process now, because now you talk about legal action. You got to go to court. It's become real sticky right now. It's going to be a while before this case is settled, years maybe. I don't think it's going to be a quick hit, if you will, for Donald Sterling. So we'll see how that pans out. How about this, though? Derek Fisher, after Steve Kerr decided to fill the Golden State coaching vacancy instead of Phil Jackson's Knicks, Jackson and company have begun to explore other options for the head man in New York City. Now, a name that has emerged from the pack, and it is a bit of a surprise, if you ask me, Derek Fisher. His name has come up. While Fisher has a long history with Jackson, helping him win three titles with the Lakers in the early 2000s, there is one rather large hurdle keeping him from the Knicks job: the fact that he's still rocking a jersey and still playing on the hardwood with the OKC Thunder. Now, the 39-year-old Fisher is a role player in OKC and served as the president of the Players Association during the lockout negotiations. Jackson plans to surround him, if he retires from playing, that is, with experienced assistants, much like Jason Kidd in Brooklyn. So we'll see how that pans out. That's exciting stuff. I think Derek Fisher is a great basketball mind and would do very well as a head coach. All right, NBA playoff update. What a night it was last night. The Indiana Pacers finished off their second-round playoff matchup against the Washington Wizards, winning 93-80 and taking their series in six games. They now take on the Miami Heat, the defending champion Miami Heat, in the Eastern Conference Finals on Sunday. In the Western Conference, the Oklahoma City Thunder also won their game six against the Los Angeles Clippers, winning by a score of 104-98. They take on the powerhouse that is the San Antonio Spurs in the Western Conference Finals on Monday. So Sunday and Monday, I certainly will be glued to my TV. Man, the Miami Heat, Indiana Pacers, and the Spurs and Thunder get it on to try and win an NBA championship. And how about this? Again, we're taking your calls on this one. Michael Sam. A report has came out that suggests that Michael Sam, the first openly gay player in the NFL, did not disclose the new documentary in fear that he might not be picked. Again, that documentary coming from the Oprah Winfrey Network. This is going to follow and see if Michael Sam can make the roster. Again, he did not disclose to the Rams that this documentary was going to take place until after he got drafted. Now, at the scouting combine in February, Sam said he wanted the attention focused on his football abilities, not his sexual orientation. Quote, I just wish you guys would just see me as Michael Sam, the football player, instead of Michael Sam, the gay football player. Now, Sam was selected by the St. Louis Rams with the 249th pick in the 7th round in the NFL draft. Again, the Oprah Winfrey Network will begin its production on the documentary very, very soon, in like an 8-part series or something like that. Again, I want to get your thoughts on this because I think that doing this documentary sort of contradicts the quote that I just read. Again, I just wish you guys would see me as Michael Sam, the football player, instead of Michael Sam, the gay football player. Doing a documentary does not aid in that, Mike. I don't know. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. What are your thoughts on that? And how about this? According to FC Barcelona's website, a new deal has been agreed on by Lionel Messi that is expected to match or slightly exceed Ronaldo's $50 million annual salary with Real. Now, the contract will be revised, updated, and signed over the next few days in more detail. Messi's deal is expected to keep him with Barcelona through at least 2018. It is the 7th contract in Messi's 11 years with Barcelona. Messi is Barcelona's all-time leading goal scorer with 354 goals, and he helped the club win 21 titles since he joined Barcelona in 2004. How about that, Messi? One of the greatest of all time, folks. Yeah, he deserves the moolah, if you ask me. All right, well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, if you want to call in and give your thoughts on any of those, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, folks. All right, well, let's get to our guest for today's show. I am excited about tonight, 7 p.m., is when things change here in Mid-Michigan, folks, and change for the better. I tell you what, it's exciting stuff. It's Lansing United kicks off the regular season, folks, at Archer Stadium inside the East Lansing Soccer Complex, and I am pleased to have the pleasure to welcome the owner of Lansing United, Jeremy Sampson, to join us on today's Current Sports. How you doing, Jeremy?
Hey, Al. Good afternoon. I'm doing well. How are you?
Very, very well. I'm pretty sure you are ecstatic about tonight. I got to ask you to start this thing off, Jeremy. How surreal is this for you, knowing that in about 6 hours, the moment will finally be here?
Yeah, it's pretty surreal, Al, to be honest. And there's so much going on. There's so much still that we have to do to get together or to get ready for tonight's game. I haven't really had time to think about it until you brought it up, but I can tell you this, I do plan on taking a couple of minutes tonight at some point just to kind of take it all in. A couple of people have said, you know, hey, make sure you kind of soak it in, and that's what I want to do. There's been a lot of hard work, a lot of effort by a lot of different people, not just myself, that has gone into to bringing this Lansing United team to fruition, and I plan on at least taking a couple of minutes tonight to kind of soak it in.
Yeah, please do, Jeremy, because this is certainly an amazing accomplishment, exciting stuff. Now, as an owner, what are your goals for this team, especially, I'm curious, attendance-wise?
Yeah, attendance-wise, it's tough to say, to be honest. Mm-hmm. You know, when we looked at bringing a team to Lansing, we did our homework as far as how many people in the area were playing and trying to gauge the interest. As of this morning, we're at 244 season tickets sold.
Wow.
You know, the response from the community has been overwhelming. It really has been. You know, as far as what our attendance numbers will be throughout the season, I didn't put any specific numbers as far as a goal. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, we talked about this before, is my long-term goal is just kind of help grow the game. And that seats about 800 folks at the East Lansing Soccer Complex. And, you know, if we could find a way, Al, to put 800 people in there and give our players a true home field advantage when we play at Archer Stadium, that would be a lot of fun for me, and it would mean a lot, I know, to the players too.
Yeah, without a doubt. And Jeremy, when putting together this team, from an owner's standpoint again, did you reach out at all to other owners in the league and kind of pick their brain about what to expect in year one?
No doubt about it. you have to talk to those who've been there before you, right?
And, right.
Two owners in particular, the guys, there's a five-person ownership group with the team in Detroit who's now in their third year. And last year they averaged about 1,800 fans a game. And in their first regular season game last weekend, they drew over 2,100.
Wow.
So they're continuing to grow, and they're continuing to to have more people come out and watch their games. And again, in their third year, they've done a lot of good things. And then also in Buffalo, the guys out there have been very gracious and very helpful and kind of showing me the way, if you will. So between those two groups, they've definitely been a big help.
And Jeremy, what kind of challenges did they encounter when they first started a team, just like you're trying to do right now?
I think it's just the first of everything. You know, you're trying to put everything together, make sure all your T's are crossed, your I's are dotted. From an ownership perspective, I think the maybe the biggest challenge for us this year has been selling corporate sponsorships. And everybody says, you know, that's normal because, you know, right now, honestly, you know, we're selling an idea. I can't go to a business and say, you know, we're going to have 800 people at a game or we're going to have 1,000 people at every game because we haven't done it yet. So, you know, when you're going out there and you're explaining to folks your idea, your passion, that's what it is. You just don't have anything tangible yet. So everybody said, hey, you know, that's natural. You know, you go through your first year, now you've got some hard and fast numbers, and when you go back to those folks, you know, you can show them what the interest is in the community.
And I'm sure the community will do a great job. Got to stay positive. Folks, go on out again. We're talking with Jeremy Sampson, who is the owner of Lansing United. They get their season kicked off tonight at 7 p.m. at Archer Stadium inside of the East Lansing Soccer Complex. So, Jeremy, what can people expect as far as the atmosphere goes? And I understand there is a group, an interesting name, too, called the Sons of Ransom. What is that?
Well, the Sons of Ransom, there are official supporters group. And in soccer, you call your rabid fans, if you will, your supporters group. And, you know, they came to us, a couple of guys who said, hey, look, you know, we really love soccer. We want to support the team. We want to get a group together. You know, can you help us? And I said, I'd love to kind of get you guys started. But after that, you know, you guys kind of take it on your own and do your own thing. When we were thinking of a name, Al, we were trying to do something to connect with the city of Lansing. And as many people in your listening audience know, and I know you know yourself, R.E. Olds was the founder of the Oldsmobile Automobile Company, which, ironically enough, 10 years ago this month stopped producing Oldsmobiles, but
right.
R.E. Olds' first name was Ransom.
Oh, there you go.
That's where we tied in the Ransom with somebody who was very influential in the Lansing area and helping to build the Lansing area to what it's become is that we know it now. R.E. Olds was very influential in helping Lansing kind of grow and get bigger as far as industry and people coming to live here and that kind of stuff. So the Sons of Ransom are alive and well. They're going to have drums there. They've got songs. There's going to be a definite atmosphere there. But we do want to let your listening audience know game time is at 7 o'clock.
Yep.
Doors open at 6 o'clock. Tickets are $5 for adults. Or $3 for anybody who's 12-year-old and under. And then also tonight we're doing a couple of special promotions. The first one is we're trying to celebrate youth soccer tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So any youth soccer player from their local community, their club, or even their high school who wears their jersey to the game will get in for free.
Oh, and that's great.
So we want these kids to come out and see that they have role models, that the guys on our team are, you know, they've put in the work and we've got great guys, great character people on our team, and that they do have some role models. And then the other thing is Castle, who serves as the umbrella, the Capital Area Soccer League serves as the umbrella for the 27 different communities in mid-Michigan that do have youth soccer programs. They've got 400 T-shirts that they've made up that we're going to be giving away to the first 400 people that come in, and they are a replica of our home jersey. So very cool thing there to have the first 400 people get a free T-shirt tonight.
Nice. And those already who have the jersey, those lucky individuals, they get it for free, right, I believe?
Well, the season ticket holder, well, yes, the kids, if they're wearing their jerseys, will get in for free. And then, of course, we do have our season ticket holders, and they got a scarf.
Oh,
okay. When they purchase that season ticket. So as long as those season ticket holders have their scarf, you know, they get right in through our pass gate.
Oh, that's great stuff. Going out, people, should be a great atmosphere tonight. And, you know, I got to ask you, Jeremy, how did the Archer Stadium inside of the EL Soccer Complex become the home for you guys?
Well, we looked at a couple of different venues. A lot of teams in our league, Al, play in high school football stadiums. Mm-hmm. But the issue with many high school football stadiums and soccer fields is the width. A high school football field is 53 yards wide, and a regulation soccer field through the NPSL standards has to be at least 65 yards wide. So you'd have to get another 6 yards on either side. And as you know, many of the high school venues don't have an extra 6 yards from their sideline
right.
To use. There's a track there, or they just don't have that much room, or that area is really, you know, worn down. So we started looking at a couple of different venues, and the city of East Lansing stepped up, and they've just been super. Great people to work with. It provides an excellent training facility for our team, too, that our players and our team trains out there every day. So we're looking forward to, you know, like I said, 800 seats, and there's room for standing room. So we're hoping to really pack the place tonight.
Jeremy Sampson, owner of Lansing United. And Jeremy, you know, you talked about a little bit about the Sons of Ransom, but also the logo and motto is pretty cool of this squad. Pride, passion, and unity, and also a Latin phrase, which I won't even attempt to say. I'll leave that up to you right now. Why did you all choose that to represent the squad?
Well, I butcher it too. My Latin is not very good either, but Conjunctus Verbis stands for connected strength. And it all goes back, Al, to really picking the name Lansing United. As you remember, we did a name the team contest with the people in the community because we wanted them to feel like they had some buy-in to the team, and they certainly submitted some great names. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, we went with United because we want this entity to be something that soccer fans or sports fans in mid-Michigan can all gather and unite toward. And that Latin phrase, with connected strength, just talks about how we would like our club to be viewed, both on the field and off. You know, on the field, our players are certainly going to play together, and we want our fans to come together to support Lansing United as well.
Oh, that's a great message. And really quickly, before I let you go, Jeremy, your roster and website was revealed earlier this week. A few former Spartans, a few players from overseas. I mean, just how stacked is this roster?
Well, we'll find out. We'll find out after our first four games. I'll tell you that this weekend and next weekend, we play on Friday and Sunday. I'm very confident that head coach and general manager Eric Rudland has put together a very, very competitive roster. We have many, many good players on our team, and I've seen them not only in their training sessions but in the exhibition games as well. And I'm very confident that they're going to come out and play well tonight, represent Lansing United, the city of Lansing, and the people of mid-Michigan in the right way.
Can't wait to see him, Jeremy. And, before I let you go again, Jeremy, in what way has this team already, and this endeavor already, made a profound impact on your life?
Well, a quick story, and I've told this to a couple of people. We had our tryouts about a month ago, and we had them at the East Lansing Soccer Complex, and there were some young players, some youth players. They must have been, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years old, who had some games. And one young man had finished his game, and he was walking back to the parking lot with his dad, and he walked by where we had a table set up with our logo and some merchandise and things. He looked at his dad and he said, Dad, when I grow up, I want to be famous and play for Lansing United.
Wow.
And to me, that's what this is all about. I mean, I mentioned role models before, but I want this team, I want this club to be something that young people in our area, young soccer players, they can look up to and say, look, if I put some work in and I work hard, maybe someday I could play there too. So we hope to inspire some kids, and that inspired me. You know, when that young man said that, I had a smile on my face for the next couple of days. That it warmed my heart to hear that.
Oh, man, that's certainly a pinch-me moment. Gotta love that. Well, Jeremy, I wish you all the success in the world. I will be there tonight. Actually, I was talking to Alex before the show. I didn't know I had to have a credential. I gotta talk to you about getting a credential for tonight, man.
We have one all set for you. I just haven't had a chance to connect with you, but we've got one with your name on it that'll be waiting out there for you. So we're looking forward to seeing you out there tonight, Al.
Oh, beautiful. I will see you tonight, Jeremy. Certainly a pleasure to have you on today to talk about it. Again, remind the folks, what time do gates open?
Gates open at 6 o'clock.
There you have it. Lansing United versus the Indiana Fire to kick off the season. 7 p.m. is the official kickoff time at Archer Stadium at the East Lansing Soccer Complex. Hey, Jeremy, I'll see you tonight, and thanks a lot for joining me today.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you tonight.
All right. Jeremy Sampson, owner of Lansing United. Great stuff. Well, let me have a caller right now before we hit the break. Apachu is on line one. Apachu, how you doing, my man?
All right, man. All right. Hey,
man, you guys are incredible. You got some good stuff. De Leon was incredible.
Thank you.
I wanted to say thank you to Mr. Sampson for bringing soccer to this area, man. It's really beautiful. My favorite player of all time was Maradona out of Argentina, and he was a very tiny guy. Okay, and I was able to identify when I fell in love with soccer, the World Cup, and after I saw him play. And that's what I like about soccer. You can be a small man and still be a giant. So that's good news for a lot of young kids that are not very large and who do not get into football and basketball because of their physique and so forth.
Go ahead.
The other thing was you were talking about, the guy, Sam, what's his full name?
Yeah, Michael Sam, yeah.
Michael Sam, yeah, I don't keep track of it, so I don't, I get home tired, man. I ain't got time to watch ESPN and all that.
I feel you, Mike.
it's probably true what you said. It's a contradiction, but you'd be surprised what you do for money. There's a lot of things you do, like contradict yourself. You know, when you get paid, there's no limit to what I would do. We could pay big money, but I don't have that opportunity. But the other thing is that I don't think that's the question. I think the issue is the fact that many people like him are going to benefit from what he's doing. And I consider him a very courageous man, and I respect that, And I remember that there was this world champion boxer. I think he's Puerto Rican out of New York. And he won a championship, and then when they found out that he was gay, okay, and he was a transvestite hanging around the clubs and so forth, eventually he was beaten to death.
Wow.
And that is very, very sad.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's now is indicative of the changes that we're going through as a society and tolerance and all this other stuff. So I think he's a hero. I think it's good whether his intentions are egotistical or whether he's in contradiction with what he said earlier and so forth. I think that's why Oprah's doing it. It's going to benefit a lot of people. You got to remember, Oprah was the key to giving us a black president,
yeah.
The first one. And I ain't totally happy with him, but you know what? I think a lot of kids benefit from seeing a black face as president of the most powerful nation in the world. Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
Hey, thank you. Hey, great insight, Apache. Always great to talk to Apache. Thanks a lot for that call. I think he definitely brings a interesting view on that. Thanks a lot, Apache, for that call. And if you want to weigh in, just like Apache did on the Michael Sam story or the Lansing United's kickoff season opener tonight or anything we talk about here on the show, you know the number. Come on, man. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Let's hit the break. When we come back, we will talk about Michael Sam, and you'll get our thoughts along with Matt and Alex. You don't want to miss any of that. A stacked show. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports returns in just a sec.
It's your thing. Do what you want to do. I can't tell you who to talk to. It's your thing.
An Antarctic ice sheet the size of the Dakotas has begun to melt. I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for a look at the consequences of rising sea levels, plus why some experts say we should keep that smallpox virus around, and the history of invisible ink and how it relates to NSA secrets today, all on Science Friday from PRI.
That's Science Friday, coming up at 2 o'clock.
I'm WKAR's Mark Bayshore. 7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat. From government to the arts, sports to education, from business to travel, it's all got a home. It's Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 FM and at noon on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to Current Sports. It's Funky Friday. Thanks a lot, Alex Shark, for these throwback hits, man. I know my uncle is jamming right now, okay? Well, welcome back to the show again. We are taking your calls throughout the rest of the show, like we do each and every day here on the show. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. We're about to talk about the Combine and kind of dive into Gary Harris and Nick Stauskas as they weren't pleased with a few measurements that were taken earlier today, and also the Michael Sam documentary that Oprah is putting together. Is it a little bit too much? Thanks a lot for Apache for weighing in before the break. We actually have a caller right now. I believe he wants to talk about the NBA draft a little bit, or NFL draft, excuse me. Mike from Saginaw, how you doing, Mike? Welcome to Current Sports.
Hello there, L. I just want to talk about the NBA draft combine. I'm looking at these guys work out and everything. It's just like football, the football combine. I mean, they're running over cones and jumping over things and everything else. You know what? As a professional working in sports journalism and everything, I know NBA personnel people talk to the media all the time, but do you think the majority of those sports talk journalists know about, could they just look with their eyes and see who's talented enough to be good enough to be on the NBA level, or they just talk to the scouts, take their opinions and put them and run with it? What do you think about that?
Well, for me, Mike, I've always said when it comes to basketball, the sport of basketball and the NBA combine specifically, this isn't the NFL combine. The NFL combine is sort of, in many ways, the end-all be-all for a lot of those players to increase their draft stock or to see their draft stock just plummet straight through the floor. For the NBA, it's not like that, though. I mean, you saw many highly touted prospects such as Andrew Wiggins and then Jabari Parker. I mean, a lot of highly touted prospects not even participate because they feel as though they have nothing to gain from it. So from a basketball standpoint, it's such a finesse sport, and if you're a good player in college, your chances are pretty good that you're going to be a pretty solid player in the NBA. That's just how basketball is. Football is a different monster for various reasons, but you can pretty much look at a player and their body of work in college basketball to see if they can survive at the NBA level. So it's a different dynamic altogether, Mike. And I think Mike's gone. Mike is gone. Yeah. So there you have. That's just my take on it. Matt, how you doing, man? Happy Friday.
Ready for the weekend, Al. Yeah. Ready for the weekend.
I am too. Alex, you all right, man? Alex is engineering behind the glass today. How you doing, man?
Doing pretty well, Al. I'm excited to get into this Michael Sam issue because, boy, I don't know if it's too much, man.
All right, we'll talk about it. Before we get to that really quickly, sticking with the NBA Combine, it was pretty interesting because I found this to be pretty funny. You know, Gary Harris, when I see him play in person, you know, covering him for, what, his 2 years that he was here at State, always looked at him as like 6'4", maybe 6'5". And, you know, he took off his shoes, I guess, and he was officially measured at 6'2.5" without shoes. It was pretty funny. He went on to say, quote, "I was measuring 6'4.5" in shoes, and I don't think I have two-inch soles in my shoes. I don't know what's going on, but with that, at least I'm not playing barefoot, I guess." It really surprised a lot of people. And then if you look at Nick Stauskas, also had an interesting measurement. Now, both of these players, to really, you know, hit on Mike's point again, both of these players didn't even bother to even show off the drills portion in the combine. They felt as though they had nothing to gain from it. But Nick Stauskas, of course, they still had to put in measurements. And Nick Stauskas had a surprising measurement as well. At 12.1% body fat, which stunned him and everybody, it was actually the highest percentage of body fat on any player that was listed in the combine. So he called it, he said, quote, "Maybe it's baby fat," end quote, and said that with a smile. So I was reading a few blogs and a few forums this morning while putting together this story in the headliners, and it was comical to me because a lot of people were stunned and saying, "Oh, I didn't. That's short for a guard in the NBA. I don't know if you'll survive now." Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, he has on shoes while he's playing, and looking at his body of work in college, you're telling me that just because he took off his shoes and he's measured a few inches less than what you thought he was, that's going to hurt him in the draft? Come on, let's stop it here. Nick Stauskas at 12.1% body fat. Again, this isn't the NFL combine, folks. These are just measurements that they have to put in. This isn't the end-all be-all for these two outstanding players. It was comical to me, man.
Yeah, I think it's overblown in both cases. I think Stauskas is probably the bigger surprise to me just because I feel like every team lists on their roster guys as being a few inches taller than they actually are. I think that's common practice in sports.
Yeah.
But, I mean, 12% body fat for a guy who is basic. I mean, he's appeared rail thin for most of his career.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not LeVert thin,
right?
But he's thin. And to have him come in the combine and have a higher body fat percentage than Draymond Green did
when
he went to the combine. Draymond Green was 11.3%. That's crazy to me.
Right.
All you heard during Draymond's entire college career was how he was transforming his body.
Yeah.
Apparently he did a very good job because he was thinner than Nick Stauskas when push came to shove.
Exactly.
But as far as this hurting their stocks,
no.
If it does, it's stupid.
So stupid.
We've seen these kids play for 2 years in college, and they're both great players. For one measurable to derail their draft stock would be a colossal mistake. As far as Harris goes, I mean, look around the NBA. There are undersized two guards everywhere.
Everywhere you look. You know what I mean?
You don't have to be 6'6 to play two guard.
Exactly.
It's a different NBA these days. He's got the three-point shooting that he can kind of get by. Mm-hmm. At the very least, though, I think this does put added emphasis on his need to develop as a ball handler and a distributor. Because I feel like teams are maybe going to ask him to play a little point guard. He's going to have to show that he can do that. So I think as long as he kind of works on his game in other areas and tries to complement his shooting guard skills, he'll be fine. Because, I mean, you look around the league. I mean, Eric Bledsoe is 6'1". Bradley Beal is 6'3". Eric Gordon, 6'3".
Right.
Marcus Thornton, 6'4". Monte Ellis is 6'3". I mean, Will Bynum is in the NBA at 6'.
Yeah, I was about to say
Nate
with the Pistons.
Nate Robinson plays at 5'9". You don't have to be a treetop to play in the NBA.
Exactly. That's very, very, very well put there. And, you know, I definitely agree. This won't hurt either one of their draft stocks at all. I mean, it was kind of funny to me just reading the comments. I'm like, well, are you serious, dude? You got to be kidding me here. But, you know, both have proven themselves to be very versatile players, and they'll only get better with time once they enter the league. I was looking at a few forms on ESPN.com. As far as shooting guards go, Andrew Wiggins was number one, Gary Harris was two, and Stauskas was three. So that's pretty good, even considering those outlandish measurements, if you will. And you know what? I think the NBA right now, guys, to be honest with you, I think they do have a problem, though. Guys are pulling out of the NBA combine like it's like nothing. You know what I mean? And I also question whether or not the NBA should even have a combine now, because there's nobody that does it. Nobody does it. And if you're already having team workouts, if teams are already bringing in these players for individual workouts, you know, on their own time, then why display it as a combine? I just don't get it. I think nobody's watching it. Mike may be one of the very few who's watching it right now. I don't even really pay attention to it. To me, I just think they should just get rid of it. I think it's just a waste of time. And, you know, we'll see how that transpires. But, again, it's not like the NFL combine. I always stress that because I laugh at the NBA combine sometimes. I saw Andrew Wiggins. I don't know if you guys saw his picture on Twitter. That looked Photoshopped to me, if you ask me. But, man, I mean, he gets up there. It looks like an 86-inch vertical off the ground. I'm sitting there like, you got to be kidding. Did you see that, Alex?
Yeah, I saw it. But
Google his picture. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
At the same time, though, if they got rid of the combine, would guys like Ben Wallace ever be noticed? I don't know.
That's why you have the individual workouts for teams, though. I mean, if they want to give the kid a shot and see what he's got, they're already bringing in these players in college for individual workouts where you get to see firsthand without having them, like, you know, just on stage in a combine to do that. I mean, they're already doing it. Why do it at a combine? I just don't get it.
True.
I think it's a waste of time.
There are some players that are specific role players that are purely athletic based. Ben Wallace, that guy. Yeah, you could have seen him in a workout or a team
workout. Why do it at a combine?
Well, the thing is if you're a matchup, if you're going against a 7-footer, if you know Ben Wallace has over a 40-inch vertical jump, you can strategize that in a game. I think there is some relevance.
You can find
it
out in an individual team workout. You need to do it. You don't have to have a combine for that.
I don't know.
I think it's a waste of time.
And a team workout, there's a lot more than just testing vertical jumps and a lot of other.
They do include that. They put you through a rat race through the whole thing, and they notch down your 40 and all that kind of stuff, your weight measurements. All that is taken care of. Why put together a combine? It's a waste of money for me. I don't see it.
Well, even back to the whole debate about whether Stauskas's and Gary Harris's height will affect them, I agree with you guys on that, but I do think it does affect a big man in the NBA. If you're looking at a 7-foot-1 guy versus a 6-foot-11 guy, that's a huge difference to me.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I can debate that all day, too. I can debate that one all day. Because we've seen, you know, short centers or short forwards in the league, like a Ben Wallace, have tremendous success in the league.
Yeah,
you know?
But that Ben Wallace also jumps just as high as some of the 7-foot-2 centers.
What gave him the advantage in the league?
What short center that doesn't jump as high as Ben Wallace has a place in the NBA? There are none.
I could debate
all centers
that all
day. Are 6'11", 7 foot at least nowadays.
No, no, not at all. I could name multiple rosters who barely even have a center.
Name one center.
Look at the Los Angeles Clippers right now.
DeAndre Jordan is 6'11".
DeAndre Jordan is pretty big, but as far as his inside presence, I mean, DeAndre barely scores, first of all. His minutes have been cut down due to his lack of productivity throughout an NBA game, and Blake Griffin has become that guy inside, and he's not 7 feet at all.
But
come
yeah,
on, man.
I'm talking strictly center, taking tips and guarding the biggest guy on the floor.
Oh,
although
gosh.
Blake Griffin's the inside guy, DeAndre Jordan is still the center. He's still guarding Tim Duncan.
But his
productivity,
DeAndre Jordan is not. I think DeAndre Jordan's overrated, if you ask me. We're getting off top here. I see where you're going with this, Alex. But bottom line,
it's very relevant. Don't pretend like
combine,
that's not a relevant debate. You're just avoiding it.
No,
Alex. Come on.
Stick with the combine. There's no need for the combine. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
I like the combine because we get stories like this, where we find out how tall these guys actually are.
Yeah, I guess
and,
so. Yeah,
and,
that's comical.
And what the gut is doing on all these potential NBA players. Apparently,
Stauskas has been down in McDonald's cheeseburgers, dude.
He's loosening that belt for a while. He's got to hit the treadmill for a little bit. But no, I feel like it's okay in the sense that you get these guys who are kind of fringe draft picks, and you get them in a situation where they're competing against their peers. I mean, you have guys like Aaron Kraft going to the NBA draft combine. I don't know anybody who thinks Aaron Kraft can legitimately make it in the NBA other than as like an end of the bench guy.
You don't think he'll be drafted?
No.
I don't know, man.
No.
I think somebody out there may risk it.
No way.
I think they will, man.
Maybe after like
I think
if Aaron Kraft get drafted, yeah, it will not be before the 50th pick.
No,
he'll be the last 10.
Right.
Well, why specifically do you not think Kraft will be drafted?
Because he can't shoot at all. At all. He's not a talented player.
Nat does not like Aaron Kraft. Nat has definitely made that known.
Well,
the
love affair is not going to translate to the NBA.
Well,
great college player.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to work out in the NBA. It's just not
going to
happen.
I don't know,
happen.
Man. I think if Kraft is
shown. But he at least gets the opportunity here at the combine to kind of showcase his skills versus the other players who are in contention
but
to be
drafted. But he
could have
did that in just a regular team workout, though, man.
But it's not in the same setting as everyone else. It's not like you're getting...
So you like the idea
that
the combine
puts everybody...
I just
like that they're all in one place. I like that they're all in one place. Even though the top-tier prospects aren't competing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jadeveon Clowney didn't participate in all the drills in the NFL draft. He ran the 40, and people, you know, just lost their minds because he was so fast. But it's just it's kind of the meat market aspect of it, where you just get the measurements of these guys, see what they actually are physically compared to everyone. I kind of like they're all in one place. It's not the event that the NFL draft combine is, because the NFL is far and away the best league at making non-game activities interesting.
They've
mastered it.
They put a primetime show for the schedule release, for goodness
sake.
Yeah,
exactly.
The NFL is ridiculously on another level. But.
Exactly, but just because the NFL is so much bigger, I don't think that means that the NBA draft combine is useless.
I think
there's some value there.
I think there is no value in any of it, because again, I think you could get just as much out of the individual team
the
workouts.
The teams could definitely, but the fans can't. If the teams were just doing this all themselves, from a fan perspective, absolutely.
I still hate it. I'm a big fan of
it.
I still hate it. I hate it.
I mean, we're talking about it. If they all did individual team workouts, all we'd say was, well, Gary Harris met with the Timberwolves today.
Yeah, not just that, but when it comes to a workout, sometimes what your combine will be, when it comes to a game speed or an actual workout, you might be way worse. You might have a 40-inch vertical, but when you're playing in a game or when you're working out with a team, it might be way less.
But you can get all of that. As a team manager or a team coach, you can get all of that through an individual team workout.
Yeah, but individual team workouts aren't the end-all be-all either.
Fan.
I mean,
maybe
Yi Jin Lan, remember
like
Yi Jin Lan, the Chinese player
who
worked out?
That is
he had a private team workout. He got drafted by the Bucks in the top 10, mostly on the strength of a private workout in which he played basketball against a chair.
Yeah.
I am not joking. There's video.
So,
he
the
hit
combine,
jumper after jumper over a chair. And he got a top 10 draft.
And
so
who
combine,
knows what Darko's workout was like.
Exactly.
It might have been the same.
In the combine, do they run scrimmages against each other?
I hope so.
I don't think they do.
Even if they don't, at least you're getting them all in one place and you can size them up against one another.
I don't know.
That's
Matt.
The biggest thing.
I still
to me.
Think it's just a waste of money, man. I don't know.
I mean, it very like well it. May be, but I mean, they're priming us for the draft lottery next week. I'm excited
about it. I'm excited about the Pistons. Hopefully, we get somebody and hopefully
they get the
Stucky.
Pick. Hopefully nobody slides ahead of the Pistons because that would be a brutal start for Stanley.
And that's what's fun about the lottery because anything could happen. You know, anything could happen. I love watching it. All right, guys. Well, let's transition really quick. Michael Sam. We're gonna skip the second break. Let's go to Michael Sam. Because this has been a hot-button topic. Apatu, thank you for weighing in on it. Again, if you want to weigh in on this topic, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. I'm asking the question to all of you out there. Is this documentary that the old network is putting together, the Oprah Winfrey Network is putting together, is it a little too much? I want to get your thoughts on that. Again, 517-355-9527. I'll kind of kick it off really quick, guys, as we have 10 minutes left in the show. I don't think the documentary is needed. And I I'm going to go on record and saying this. I think it contradicts Michael Sam's goal of wanting to be looked at as just another football player, not as a gay football player. I think this puts another target on his back. Because let's say this documentary wasn't even produced. Let's say the old network, the Oprah Winfrey Network, didn't even decide to do this documentary. We all know that the national media from ESPN, from Yahoo, from SI, from everybody, even the local media, we're talking about it right now. We all know this is going to be a topic of interest, and we're going to talk about it anyway and blow it up anyway because he is the first openly gay NFL player in the NFL. That's naturally going to draw a lot of attention. The St. Louis Rams knew that. But now you add on the fact that cameras are going to be putting together a quote-unquote reality show of this whole thing. Going to try to get locker room access. Going to try to get practice access. Going to try to get all of his access to see if he can make the roster. For me, and looking at Michael Sam, he kept it a secret until he was drafted and knew what team he was going to. It's in many ways it's unfair to the Rams for me when I look at this thing because they're taking a risk already knowing that there's going to be attention, a spotlight already on him for drafting Michael Sam. But now you add this to it. Where Oprah Winfrey, one of the most powerful women in the entire world, is going to, and her network is going to be following this man day in and day out. It's unfair to him because now this could take away the attention of what they're trying to do on the field and make this a sideshow, to be honest with you. If I was the Rams, I wouldn't allow any locker room access. I wouldn't allow any practice access. I would be very particular on how much access I give with this whole thing. And, you know, to put this in perspective for me, have you ever seen a team featured on Hard Knocks go to the Super Bowl? You know what I mean? The access there that they get in Hard Knocks is a great show. It's entertaining. It's fun stuff. But those teams never even sniffed the Super Bowl. This is one of those things where you got to be very cautious and you got to handle it with care if you're the Rams. And I just don't think it's needed for Michael Sam. And again, it contradicts what he wants to do, his goal of coming out and being a representative for gay people everywhere. I just don't get it, man. Matt?
See, you don't get it? I kind of get it. And I understand what you're saying in that it will be a distraction and that instead of his teammates maybe not being comfortable because they have a gay teammate, they might not be comfortable because they have a teammate who's being constantly followed by cameras. That might be a problem. I mean, now he has another elephant in the room. But I think the fact that he's doing it for the gay community, he is an ambassador for the gay community breaking into the NFL. I think it's good that it's being documented. I think it's good that it's going to be shown through the Oprah Network. I think it's a good idea in that sense, that it's just kind of opening doors for a new group of people. At the same time, you said, we already know it's going to be reported on the national media, the local media, everybody. We'd already be talking about it anyway, so what's the big deal? I mean, it's just, I understand what you're saying, that they should limit access to the locker room, and that's fine, and they can probably do that.
What's to stop them from doing that?
So yeah. Really, what would be the huge deal with this? If we already know that reporters are going to be knocking down their doors trying to get a bite from Michael Sam, what's the difference?
I think this takes it to another level, though. Oprah Winfrey, the old network, cameras are going to be following this man everywhere. It's going to be, what, an 8-part series. There's going to be added attention now due to this documentary.
But, I mean, I feel like it's just like a cherry on top. No, because we're already going to get this extra attention.
Matt, we know Oprah is not just a cheery Oprah. Is like,
I guess.
She's
but
a behemoth.
I mean, is anybody really watching the Oprah Network? Does anyone
now they
watch?
Will. Now they
does
will.
Anyone watch the Lindsay Lohan documentary? No, nobody watches.
You know
it
darn well people are going to be watching this now.
People are probably going to watch this one, but still. And the other point, Apache brought it up. Mm-hmm. Money talks, and you just have to think about this from Michael Sam's perspective. He is a 7th round pick. He's going to one of the deepest teams in the NFL as far as the defensive line is concerned. He's going to have his work cut out for him to make the roster. Mm-hmm. Why not try and generate a little income when he has this window of opportunity?
From that standpoint, it's very smart.
Why
again,
wouldn't he?
It's unfair to the Rams organization, I thought. I thought
they
it was
knew what
shiesty.
They were getting into. They
not
absolutely
Oprah.
Knew what they were getting
I don't think
into.
They, please. They didn't draft Oprah.
They...
All right. Alex, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I see both sides. Well, here's my take on it, and this really hasn't been brought up yet. If you're a fan of Michael Sam, if you're a Missouri fan and you're seeing this happen, or you know what? Aside from being a fan, let's take if you're a media member. If you're a media member for Missouri football, if you've been covering this team throughout the last 2 years, you've interviewed Michael Sam countless times, you've had great interactions with him, you know his character, he's been great off the field, very good off the field, in the locker room, class act. You're seeing this guy, he's now openly gay, he's getting interest from all these other people. All those local media members are probably very happy about that. Like Matt said, it's the cherry on top. If you are covering a Michigan State player that came out as openly gay, would you be annoyed that it's getting national attention? No, because you're a fan of that team, or you're maybe following the player for years and you've had that relationship. So from a media perspective, I totally understand, and I don't think it's that big of a deal. But from a fan perspective, from a football fan perspective, not just a Rams fan or a Missouri fan, but if you follow the game of football and you're worried about the distraction in the locker room, I can see that. I can see the PR side. But when it comes to the being a media member or someone who's covered, I'm very happy for him.
Or even just the gay community. This is great. Let's be honest. This is great for the gay community.
I mean, it's great for the Rams.
It's great.
It's great for the Rams. Let's be real. Even though it's a headache, it is great for the Rams.
Good
He's
publicity.
Number two in jersey sales in the NFL behind Johnny Football.
So even though
they might be taking a hit from this distraction, they're also raking in a ton of money just through marketing Michael Sam.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, from a financial
perspective. But I think without the documentary, I mean, that would have happened anyway, though. You know what I mean? But
absolutely, but now you give people unfettered access. People are going to be more interested in football than they ever have been, and the team they're going to love is the St. Louis Rams.
But don't you think, Matt, you know, reading this quote from Michael Sam, again, quote, "I just wish you guys would see me as Michael Sam, the football player, instead of Michael Sam, the gay football player." Don't you think, you know, just looking at that quote right there and the message it's trying to convey, don't you think doing this documentary kind of contradicts that whole statement?
At the outset, yes. But we haven't seen the documentary yet. We haven't seen what kind of story it wants to tell. Maybe through the 8 episodes, right, we get to know Michael Sam as just a person and a football player, not necessarily
Possibly a gay football player.
So I think it might be too early to say, oh, well, this, you know, this is crap.
Because right now, it just looks like a media fiasco.
For sure.
And here's
the
thing about the documentary. Keep in mind that all the local media, when they were covering Michael Sam, they kept it all quiet that he was openly gay.
Yep.
They didn't tell anybody about it because of respect for him. If the documentary depicts his journey through that experience, maybe through some of the horrible tweets that were sent during the draft by some NFL players saying horrible when they see him kissing the other guy on TV, if that's the experience in the documentary, I think that's great. And I think that's the direction they should go in, and highlighting the struggles and the truths to what really went on for Michael Sam.
If they want to convey that message to Michael, if they want to convey that quote, they got to be very particular on how they convey, like you said, Matt, how they convey the documentary overall. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see. Again, if you want to weigh in on this, you can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, and also go to my Twitter page. You can tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Really quickly, favorite moment of the week, Matt. Favorite moment. Got 1 minute left.
Gosh, the GIF that was released today of Jack Nicholson not shaking a little kid's hand at the Clippers game.
I saw that.
Hilarious.
I did see
really
that.
Really funny.
Alex?
The Donald Sterling thing is just great. I've had a laugh out of that. But
yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Sad, but
for me, really disturbing stuff. Aaron Hernandez. Two more murders? Two more murders here? Really? How stupid can you be? He got away with it for a year. And he was playing in a Patriots jersey right before it. Crazy stuff. All right. Thanks so much to all of you for tuning in today's Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic weekend. Shout out to Jeremy Sampson, owner of the Lansing United Minor League Soccer Team. They kick off tonight at 7 p.m. Hope to see you there. Be easy, people.